SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Live right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Game Time Decisions. We're live in New York. It's big party night here at the grid, but we're going to leave you hanging. No Game Time Decisions. Could not be. We've got 2 hours to go through your slate tonight and also play catch up on what was a wild night of NFL action, a doubleheader that created a lot of market movement. We will go through it all, stopping by Tom Vecchio as well as Joe Maddon. Both will help us on the ice tonight. Plenty of NHL games to deliver on. We're also hoping Ben Stevens will join us live and in studio for his first appearance here on Game Time Decisions. Some college football news. Wisconsin landing Tyler Van Dyke. Again, we will get to it all. But let's open it up. Like usual, the big items really from last night: Titans, Dolphins, Packers, Giants, two games on Monday Night Football, and Tennessee with the upset of the season, one of the upsets of the decade. And that's not just because they won as a 14-point underdog on the road. That happens. The NFL is good for one, maybe two of those a year. What you do not see is a team trail by 14 points on the road as a 14-point underdog with less than 3 minutes remaining and proceed to win that football game and do it in regulation. An unimaginable collapse from the Miami Dolphins. All the credit in the world to Levis and Vrabel and everybody on the Tennessee Titans to pull that off. A 28-27 final score. What a sweat it ultimately was for total backers in that game. Of course, the 55 final crashed through that over. But this was a major, major market mover. Let's get our radio audience into the fold. Happy to have you with us here all across the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM, Channel 159. It's Game Time Decisions live from New York on a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. When you take a look at what this means for the Miami Dolphins, is this team going to the playoffs? Yes, sure. It's not clinched, but it feels almost certain. But this Dolphins group was set to become conference favorites with a win. Now they are the third choice. They looked like they could absolutely secure the number one overall seed. Once again, now the third choice. And most importantly, no longer a sure thing to win their division. The Miami Dolphins were minus 1,000 to win the AFC East last night. It was finished. It was over. Buffalo would need miracles to happen. Well, one happened last night. Minus 430 for Miami. While it's strong, look at the comparison to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are minus 550. And Jacksonville has felt more vulnerable in their AFC South lead than Miami the entire time. It speaks volumes to the fact that the books are providing more respect on Buffalo's name week after week. But that was a collapse of epic proportions last night by the Miami Dolphins. And it is also impacting awards markets. And we'll recap and rehash the fallout from both of those. In terms of Giants Packers, okay, on the Green Bay side, this 24-22 loss. Again, this team blew a late lead. They were up at half in this game. They took control with under 2 minutes to go, and Tommy DeVito led a late game-winning drive. Randy Bullock makes the 37-yard field goal as time expires to give the Giants another win and push this team to 5-8. For Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, coach of the year, that's probably done and buried. The idea that they could win this division, that's done. Push that aside. But the Packers were going to become priced as an absolute guarantee to make the NFC playoffs. They can, but it is no longer that. And that is a missed opportunity. What is now going on for the Giants? Look, the fan base is excited. They like Tommy DeVito. The fan base is wondering, could they upset the New Orleans Saints this weekend? Could they possibly steal one off the Eagles and get into the playoffs? I don't think so. Maybe. But here's the reality Giants fans are faced with. They have had three starting quarterbacks this season, and inarguably the worst one is the guy they paid to be their franchise quarterback this offseason in Daniel Jones. A mistake from the moment it happened, a mistake that if you were honest with yourself, you could see clear as day. And Tommy DeVito now making it feel even more ridiculous. Giants fans love Tommy DeVito off a three-game sample size more than they ever loved Daniel Jones. Tommy Cutlet sweeping the nation here. The Giants go to 5-8. Again, we will reset more Monday Night Football throughout our show here tonight on Game Time Decisions. We've got an NBA slate to get to, though. It is a really, on the surface, it's a great slate of NBA action. It looks wonderful, but it is more of the same. And it is filled with absences and question marks because every single one of these games tonight, outside of Suns-Warriors, at least deals with one team on the second leg of a back-to-back. And I'm sure many of you say, oh, it's the player's fault, play through it, play through it. And there is some credence to that. But it has become abundantly clear now for over a half decade, if not longer, that NBA players and their availability is going to come into question on the second leg of back-to-backs. And the NBA runs out a slate like this. Celtics, Cavs, Cavs on the second end, we've got a double-digit line. Lakers, Mavs, Luka is actually going to play tonight for Dallas, but that was becoming questionable. No Kyrie Irving, Kyrie on a walking boot, his timetable now up in the air. Nuggets, Bulls, both of those teams played last night, and so did Kings, Clippers. You have a slate tonight where almost more than half of it was playing yesterday. The NBA signs themselves up for this routinely, and it is no surprise tonight. Well, there are some interesting opportunities that we will get into. You look at the NBA championship odds as we've now finished up the NBA in-season tournament. And again, what an absolute success that was. The Los Angeles Lakers play their first game since winning that championship in Vegas. The Celtics favored to win the NBA's regular season title. Denver checks in as the second option. Milwaukee and Phoenix, the only four teams underneath a 15-1 price. It'll be really fun to watch how these markets develop. That Phoenix number, interesting, as we're going to get Bradley Beal in, but no Kevin Durant. We still patiently wait for the debut of the full big three, Booker, Beal, Durant. By the way, Phoenix on a back-to-back tomorrow. Do not expect Bradley Beal to play. Durant probably will come back in. He might be solo. Wouldn't be surprised if Devin missed the game as well. Let's put a quick pick up on the board. Interesting night of college basketball. Duke and Tennessee, your ranked teams in action. But I had to take advantage of being here in New York because all of a sudden I can get involved in Seton Hall, Monmouth. Double jersey schools playing, and I like the Pirates to cover the 15. If you take a look, Seton Hall has had a very challenging schedule so far. They've pushed themselves, but against lesser competition, they've been dominant. 4-1 against the spread when playing teams outside of the top 100 on KenPom here. I like what I've seen from Seton Hall, and I think this is a light number at 15 here. The Hawks just don't have enough to hang. Expect Seton Hall to run their in-state rival out of the gym here tonight. We'll go through the full card on the other side. It's Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, it's Game Time Decisions, live in New York on a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh, and I got a six-pick card right now, three in the NBA, and then three on the college side of things. I want to start in the NBA. This card right now could grow a bit. There's a couple of shots that are very tempting, and the most interesting game tonight is Lakers-Mavs. Now, this game has opened up a little bit more in terms of the certainty. Luka is going to play. No Kyrie Irving. It looks like Kyrie could miss a little bit of time here, so keep tabs on what that's going to mean for Dallas over the next two weeks, three weeks of basketball here. But this is going to be Luka's now sixth game this season without Kyrie Irving. He has had some big scoring performances, but the assists have been very key for Luka. He's had double-digit assists in four out of the five games. If you look, the tricky thing for Luka, though, is you're not only trying to use his sample size of when he's without Kyrie, but also his back-to-back sample size. I think the safest bet, if you're going to get involved with Doncic tonight, would actually be his over the made three prop at 3.5. In games without Kyrie Irving, he has gone for 4+ threes in 4 out of 5. He has not scored 30 points in the 3 games that he has played on the second leg of a back-to-back, but he's hit 4+ threes in 2 out of those 3 games. So, and it kind of makes sense, right? Back-to-back, not as much energy. Let's live out on the arc, a little bit more volume. So Luka's threes would be tempting tonight. I do think his triple-double, which he's done in 2 out of the 5 games without Kyrie, which I saw earlier was around plus 400, I think it's since dropped a bit, is also a tempting number if you want to climb the ladder some here with Dallas and Doncic. I don't have him on card right now. Might use him as a parlay fixture tonight. Take some of those numbers down and increase that hit rate there. What I am playing in this game is LeBron James over 6.5 assists. Really like this LeBron number tonight. LBJ actually had 0 first half assists against the Indiana Pacers in the in-season tournament final. And that was obviously eye-popping. So you see he's coming off of a 4-assist game, which is one of his lower outputs on the year. That was driven off of what was, again, a down first half. A first half that also featured some foul trouble for LeBron there. Cut into his minutes a little bit. But as always, this largely has to do with the opponent. 9 out of the last 10 top guys that have gone up against this Dallas team have cleared 7 assists. We saw Desmond Bain put up an 8 spot against this team last night. Bain, by the way, the only guy in this 10 sample size who missed it. He did. Dallas and Memphis had played about 5 games ago. We saw Anthony Simons have 8+. Keontae George put up 11. SGA, 9. Fred VanVleet, 12. And LeBron is even in this sample size with a 7+ assist game. This is a dropping number that was, I believe, 7.5 juiced to the over going into the game against the Pacers. I understand Indiana can't play defense high tempo, but a dropping number here on LeBron, over 6.5 assists. One of my favorite bets on this slate. My likely favorite bet is a guy that burned me last night, Nikola Jokic. The only loser I had on the NBA board was his triple-double. And in a way, I'm almost glad he finished with 9 assists because he ended up with only 8 rebounds. Only the 3rd time this season, Nikola Jokic has not put up double-digit rebounds, so not even a double-double for the Joker in that game. And we've seen that rare this year, but the bounce back has been very, very consistent. When you take a look in the 2 games that he missed double-digit boards, the next game he returned with 13 rebounds, but 13 on the nose. And his rebound prop is 12.5. But if you look at the rebounds plus assist numbers that he's put up in those games, 25+ rebounds plus assists in those 2 follow-up games. I think Chicago has been giving up a lot of big rebound games. We saw Giannis able to fill this up a little bit last night. So I'm not only going to play that over 21.5 on Jokic rebounds plus assists, but also take that triple-double. Last night, we bet a plus 110, plus 105 number on Jokic. Tonight, plus 145. I don't mind that it's the back-to-back for Joker here against Chicago. I'm going to play him for the triple-double. I will note, there are Nikola Vucevic and Kobe White props that look wildly mispriced. Kobe White has a 28.5 PRA that is hitting every single game he has played without Zach LaVine. And Nikola Vucevic has a 13.5 rebound plus assist number that is hit in 5 out of the 6 games that he's played without LaVine. My hesitation is the back-to-back because Kobe White this year and Vooch, when playing on the second leg, have not even flirted with the over on those numbers. That's the hesitation point there for me. I don't mind if you want to get involved with him, play him for less, maybe even pair him up and see if you can get a bigger payout for what I think is a little bit of a riskier proposition tonight due to that second leg of a back-to-back, but also keep those numbers in mind when the Bulls are coming off of just normal rest. White has really taken advantage of LaVine's absence here, which, just a quick side note, LaVine is absolutely going to be traded off of the Chicago Bulls. White has now really, really stepped in for this team. I'm not saying the Bulls are about to turn their season around, but at this point in time, with LaVine wanting out, the contract not being great, there likely being plenty of suitors, I don't see any way LaVine is on the Chicago Bulls past the NBA trade deadline. Last one for me is going to be Paul George over the 33.5 points, rebounds, and assists. This is a trend that we've talked about before on the show, but top guy point, rebounds, and assist numbers have been consistent cash up against Sacramento. Now, you might see that and say, well, then why are you on PG and not Kawhi? Kawhi is now coming off of two fantastic games in a row for the Los Angeles Clippers. He had a 40-piece the other day. He was well over 30 last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. But if you look for Kawhi, second legs of back-to-backs have not been super kind to Kawhi Leonard on the year. They've had three of them. He was great against the Lakers in one game, not so much the other two. And also, you're now paying such a premium for Kawhi. It's 36.5. His PRA, you're only getting that if he's scoring 30-plus. So go ladder Kawhi points bets if you want tonight. They might be able to come in, but I like Paul George. He's hit the rebounds plus assist portion of this number in 8 out of 12. And I think PG now is due for a breakout night here. I'm going to target Paul George in this spot going up against the Sacramento Kings. The game I didn't hit on, the big, big game. Well, I'll just say this quick. Celtics-Cavs, the Cavs this season are 0-5-1 against the spread when they're playing with a rest disadvantage. That Celtics number's there for a reason. First glance, it's like, well, Cavs have too much talent. That shouldn't be double digits. It's there for a reason. So I backed off of that game. Suns-Warriors, Bradley Beal's going to play. They have said that they need to be more. So they had a minutes restriction on Beal when he came back the first time, and they basically didn't adhere to it. And then we lost Beal again for, you know, about a month of basketball. I wouldn't be surprised if Bradley Beal plays like 16 minutes tonight, truly, because they're not going to let him burn through a minutes restriction, especially on his first night back, no matter the, even if they are playing a semi-rival here in Golden State. Don't expect it. I would be cautious on your Beal props. Devin Booker initially had a 40.5 points, rebounds, and assist number. I was late to the number because Kevin Durant was ruled out. I have no idea why the books thought Durant would play. I thought it was very obvious he wasn't going to. Bad on me. Missed the best of the number. D-Book should have a nice night tonight, though, but I don't have any of his numbers in action. We already talked about laying the 15 with Seton Hall against Monmouth. Again, 4-1 against the number when they're playing what would be a quote-unquote bad team, which is exactly what you're seeing here Seton Hall go up against. The two totals I'm playing, firstly an over in Cincinnati Bryant, big-time number of 153.5, but not big enough in my eye. You've got two high-paced teams here, especially looking at, you know, some of the Cincy trends. They've had two games against opponents that are top 45 in tempo, and both of those played to the over. Bryant, 26th fastest team in college basketball. Other side of it, though, we'll play NC State UT Martin under the 163. I understand this is a pair of fast teams here as well, but UT Martin played a game against Prairie View that was well under, despite both being high tempo offenses, and NC State will control this game a little bit more. Continue to go through tonight's card on the other side of Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night live in New York as we get set for a big night of NBA, an interesting night of college basketball, but also an NHL slate. And to help us break that down, Joe Madden. Joe, appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. Excited to talk some hockey with you here tonight.
Before we do that, though, I have to turn the clock back. Last night's game, Monday Night Football, we had two matchups there. The crazy one was Miami and Tennessee. The way the Dolphins blew that football game, from the betting perspective, how was the game for you, and what did you take away from the Titans' comeback win?
Yeah, so looking at the Titans, I did have the Titans in the first half laying or grabbing the 2.5. I expected them to be able to come out solid to start that game, but I didn't expect the Titans to be able to do what they did for that full game. We know Mike Vrabel, though. He is so fantastic in that underdog situation. As a favorite, though, of double digits, he hasn't been that great against the spread, going 2-3 in the 5 times he was in that situation. But Kevin, looking at that storyline last last night. I had sprinkled a little bit on the Titans on the money line. Didn't tell anyone. You know why? Because everyone would have called me absolutely crazy. But when I say sprinkled a bit, it was like $5. I wish I had thought more on that storyline. His 100th time coaching the Titans as their head coach, including playoffs. It was an absolute recipe for money. Looking at those storylines is so phenomenally strong. And Miami, I don't know, they came out pretty flat last night. I think they were expecting to blow them out of the water, and it just didn't happen. They had so many turnover issues, and that's what the Titans were able to do. Force those turnovers. We know Tyreek Hill was off the field for a while, but the Titans just got it done. They found a way.
What's so unbelievable, though, Joe, about that game is Miami clearly didn't have it in the beginning, as you said, right? To get the pick six that they got from Will Levis, that game could have really snowballed, and Tennessee hung the whole way. And then the Titans completely collapsed. You know, I had the plus 14. I go, man, thank goodness I'm pushing right now. I can't believe if you had 13.5. And then all of a sudden, here come the Titans. It was absolutely wild to watch play out. The second game there, listen, we were able to thread the needle a little, as I said, when we get to have both you and Taylor on. If you guys are on opposing sides of the spreads, it can be tricky. But she got the Packers' first quarter bet to come in, and then you got the Giants' first half as well as the full game of it. So it worked out well enough. What did you make of Tommy DeVito and the Giants being able to pull off another victory here, flirting with a playoff spot now?
Yeah, I tell you, Tommy DeVito really has put life in the Giants fans, and he's looking absolutely phenomenal out there. Now, he has glimpses, though. He makes one fantastic pass and then a couple of bad ones, but the whole New York Giants team is behind him, and this team is really playing fantastic with him out there. The passes he's able to make look absolutely phenomenal, really tight into just small windows. So I'm really impressed with them there. You have to look at the Green Bay Packers as well. That was a bad scheduling spot for them last night. The Packers coming off that big win over the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was a recipe for a bad game, a letdown spot out of the Packers in that one. But the Giants off that bye completely showed up and just dominated from start to finish, really. I thought out there they played a phenomenal game, especially you look at those first couple drives, and it was like, wow, the Giants really came to play.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, that was a wild doubleheader that we ended. It wasn't like the best looking two set of games, and they were two of the most exciting games of the year. Let's see what the NHL has in store for us. We'll start in Ottawa as we've got the Senators hosting the Carolina Hurricanes here. Carolina, a slight road favorite, but playing some bad hockey right now. Losers of four straight heading into this matchup. What are you looking for in this game, Joe?
Yeah, I can't trust the Carolina Hurricanes here to be able to get the win. I think the wrong team is favorite in this one. I am leaning to the Ottawa Senators to be able to pull it off. We're getting some plus money with them at home. Looking at the goaltending matchup, I do think Corpusello is the better goalie for them. That being said, he is allowing those goals to go in the back of his net. I'm looking at a couple of things. I think that first period goes over the 1.5. I expect the goals to come. Both of these teams are firing at will. They're getting a lot of shots on goal as well. Both teams to score in the first period, coming in at plus 156. I do expect both of these teams to be able to find the back of the net. So that's my favorite bet. You're getting that at plus money. Anytime you like that over 1.5, Kevin, you definitely have to look if you have confidence in both of these teams. And I really do. The Senators at home in the first period this season are averaging 1.1 goals in that first period. And we look at the Carolina Hurricanes, 16-11 to the over and under in the first period. And on the road, 10-6 to that over and under. So the pucks are finding the back of the net for both of these teams in the first period.
Love playing those home road splits there, and love some early juice in a game. I will say, as much as I don't bet a ton of hockey, especially right now in football season, but the first period totals are always a good time. Let's hope those are some moneymakers there. Let's go over to Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs here. New York off to a really hot start, and I can, at the minimum, no matter if I am not paying attention to hockey or not, There's always a gauge on how good the Rangers are, because if they're really good, Rangers fans will let you know, and they're excited about this team, Joe. What do you expect from their matchup tonight against the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, they have a favorable matchup here facing the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are on a back-to-back. Now, the Leafs had a really hard game last night versus the Islanders, in which they lost in OT, but a game that Tavares was able to get his 1,000th point in, so he got those 2 points last night. I think they probably celebrated a little bit last night in New York as well. So looking at this one here for the Rangers, they're coming in fresh to this game. This team has been playing phenomenally strong, and we look at goaltending matchup here. Martin Jones in for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't count on him to save a beach ball out there. And we got Igor Shesterkin coming out for the New York Rangers. He's been so strong, Kevin. I would look at his save shots on goal to that over as well. I believe that number coming in at 28.5. He's just been phenomenally strong out there. And then the Rangers in regulation. I don't think this was going to be a game that goes to overtime. You got to find the value taking the Rangers on the money line. It's just not there, but the win in regulation coming in at -120.
I know, again, the Rangers fans love Igor. I don't know if it is. Admittedly don't. Is this Favre to Rogers, the way they went from Hank to Igor? Is that a fair comparison? It feels like
it really is. Yeah, I've never thought of it that way, and it truly is. Igor Shesterkin, everyone loves him out there.
Yeah, he has been excellent for him. Let's get to what really should be one of the most eye-catching games of the young hockey season, because you have the star of this league, again, Connor McDavid, going up against the Blackhawks and maybe the future, well, it can't be future because McDavid's so young, but I guess a co-star to McDavid in Connor Bedard here. I will say the money line in this game is outrageous. -520 for Edmonton to win this matchup.
Yeah, and rightly so. You look at the Chicago Blackhawks, and it's a Connor Bedard show and no one else. We know Corey Perry's gone for this team. Hall is gone on IR. So this team really struggles to find the back of the net. Connor Bedard has to come out here and put on a show. And I really do think this is the Connor show when you look at it at the end of the day. Like you said, we've got the superstar here in Connor McDavid facing Connor Bedard, and you know Connor Bedard wants to show up big time because one of his idols is Connor McDavid. So you're going to see both of these players playing so strong out there. You've got to look, though, at Edmonton. I still don't trust the goaltending, and while this team has been stepping up defensively, I think we can count on Connor Bedard to find the back of the net. We've seen him against stronger goaltenders be able to do so. So looking at Connor Bedard here, you can take him for one goal in this one. Anytime goal for Connor Bedard coming in at +200. But Kevin, don't call me crazy. I'm going to sprinkle a tiny bit of money on him for 2+ goals at +1400. There's no other way I can see the Blackhawks keeping this one even tight is unless Connor Bedard can get 2 goals. And then looking at Connor McDavid, you know he's going to get a goal. It's juicy at -120. For him to get 2+ goals, +500, but Kevin, he's going to want to show up Connor Bedard in this game. I don't think there's any way that Connor McDavid doesn't get 2 goals in this one. And I think that first period, high scoring first period, especially for the Oilers, their team total in the first period is 1.5. You take that team total over 1.5 at +150. It's the only way I could find value on the Oilers for this game.
So we do a segment on Sunday on Pro Football Today called Sell Me Something. And that is what you just did. I will now end up with probably more money involved in this Edmonton Blackhawks game than all of the NBA slate combined. This is perfect. Because I love a game like this. This is such an easy game to, for me to be like, okay, I'm actually interested in how this plays out here. One quick thing, Joe, that catches my eye, to see that type of number on Edmonton in terms of their money line. I know the Blackhawks aren't great. It suggests the Oilers are going to round into form. Connor McDavid is +280 for the Hart Trophy. If the Oilers are going to be able to book like this, I imagine he starts to continue to push towards a minus money favorite in that market.
Yeah, that line has just continued to move, and it will continue to move as he gets deeper into this season. He's absolutely phenomenal out there for the Oilers, and there's no doubting And it pains me to say, Kevin, I'm a Calgary fan. Connor McDavid is really the GOAT out there on the ice. So he's going to have a fantastic season. I'd look at him for the heart.
And Bedard right now, minus 300 for the Calder Trophy. All markets will keep our eyes on. That is Joe Maddon. Appreciate it. Game Time Decisions is back right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. It's a Tuesday night. We've set up now the NHL and the NBA accordingly. So I want to dial it back a little bit to last night's two games in the NFL. And the big, big, big thing is Miami losing. We'll get to the other elements of the night if with what time we have. But I need to focus in on the Dolphins and their loss in that game and some of the ramifications. So firstly, in the Dolphins and the awards. Last night, before that game, I took a piece of Tyreek Hill to win league MVP. And as I explained to people, a part of that is holding a Tyreek Offensive Player of the Year ticket, as well as a Brock Purdy MVP ticket. Tyreek last night, 4 catches, 61 yards, no touchdowns. Typically, you would say, oh, rip it up. He is completely done in the race. What happened last night was Tyreek Hill proved he is one of the most valuable players in football and undeniably the most valuable player on the Miami Dolphins. Their offense was, it felt like, in shambles when Tyreek Hill was absent for a lot of that football game. If Tyreek was actually going to be injured for the remainder of the season, that would have, of course, eliminated him from the MVP. It probably would have dropped him out of the OPOY race and given Christian McCaffrey a monstrous advantage in the market. But Tyreek came back in. Tyreek did come back in, and when Tyreek was in, all of a sudden the offense looked like it had some life. I am not sure if Tyreek is going to be able to win MVP, but the market moved in a way that is 100% correct. And you'll see there on the TV side of it, Tyreek and Tua priced both at 20-1. It has since moved with Tyreek staying at 20 and Tua coming back to 25. Without a shadow of a doubt in my mind now, if a Dolphin is winning MVP this year, it will be Tyreek Hill, not Tua. It was on display last night. And that was something to wonder, right? If Tyreek was really going to win this, is it not just going to go to his quarterback? No. It's going to Tyreek if it is going to a Dolphin. The damaging thing for Tyreek wasn't really as much, a 4-for-61 line. It was the Dolphins losing. The Dolphins being the one seed would have really pushed Tyreek further along in this conversation. That loss is the damning thing because Tyreek is still minus 200 for Offensive Player of the Year, where the record doesn't really matter as much. The other award where the record is going to make a difference is Coach of the Year. Mike McDaniel had moved to your favorite before last night's game. And honestly, rightfully so. There are, at the moment, 4 candidates under 10-1. Dan Campbell, DeMeco Ryans, Mike McDaniel, and Shane Steichen. Well, before last night, Campbell, Ryans, and Steichen all lost. And they all lost. Cincinnati closed as a favorite. But Dan Campbell was a favorite in his game. They got boat raced, actually, by the Chicago Bears. DeMeco Ryans. So this is an odd thing because I have my Texans future. So I was a Houston believer before the year. There are a lot of people who are completely stunned what the Texans have been able to do. And because of that, DeMeco Ryans has heavily been pushed into the NFL Coach of the Year race. I'm not saying he doesn't belong. I'm saying Sunday should eliminate him from it. CJ Stroud and the offense didn't have it, and the Texans defense on the other side couldn't bail out Stroud and instead allowed Zach Wilson to extend his NFL career another 3 to 5 years. Throwing for the best game of his young career. I don't see the argument on Ryans. The Colts and Shane Steichen are not going to win that NFC South. They are too far back. They lost both games to Jacksonville. It's not theirs. So McDaniel, again, becoming the favorite made sense. Well, he now has the worst loss of the entire year on his hands. I don't really see how in the heck it's going to be Mike McDaniel now. Are the Dolphins going to win out? No, absolutely not. home against the Jets, then they're going to play the Cowboys, the Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills. There is one, if not two, losses remaining on that Miami schedule. So when we look at Coach of the Year, and we can dive into this a little bit more on in the show, but the value begins at 10-1 down. I don't think Shanahan gets it because I feel like his players are going to get more of the credit this year, Brock Purdy and McCaffrey. Stefanski has a really good case. They've played four different quarterbacks this season. Sean Payton's 14-1 case is certainly there, but they have to make the postseason. John Harbaugh would be pretty simple. Can Baltimore become the one seed? Mike McCarthy, I think the Cowboys have to win the NFC East for him to win it, but he's deserving. And then you've got this 25-1 number on Zach Taylor. And just to sell you a little bit on Zach Taylor, Nick Sirianni and Matt LaFleur were both, I think, eliminated throughout Week 14. LaFleur last night and the loss to the Giants, I don't see any way he pushes back in. And Sirianni having the chance to play Dallas and San Francisco and getting smashed in both games consecutively, I don't see it. Zach Taylor should be much shorter than 25-1 and is, best for me, by far the most value on the board. If Jake Browning goes to the playoffs, when a lot of people going into this year, throughout this year, they feel like Joe Burrow has carried Zach Taylor and saved Zach Taylor, and I'm one of those people. Well, all of a sudden now Zach Taylor's got Jake Browning playing MVP level football. Zach, the only reason I think Zach Taylor is 25-1 is the books don't believe the Bengals actually get into the postseason. And if you don't, again, that's one of the big things with that AFC back end race. Who you think fills out 1-7 is potentially going to be the deciding factor in Coach of the Year. Now, maybe I'm just completely blinded by the fact that I don't think Dan Campbell's a good candidate and people are going to hand it to him because they like him when this season is over. The Campbell candidacy, I don't get it at all. They are the fourth best team in the conference. They are a preseason division favorite who's going to win that division. What is Dan? I do not understand the Dan Campbell love. They're playing awful football right now in Detroit. When was the last time the Lions looked great? I can't remember it. So for me, it is, I don't understand the Dan Campbell thing one bit. The other fallout from this Miami loss is now with these AFC futures. And to just use the numbers posted and available on FanDuel, you've got Baltimore at +240. KC's +290, Miami +350, 10-1 on Jacksonville and Buffalo, Browns 13-1, everybody else is 34-1 or longer. So what's represented in that top six, right, are, for me, I think they are full confidence that five of those teams will be in, and Buffalo is there because the books believe the Bills might be the best team in this conference. That's what I think the books believe. And that's why Buffalo's there. Because Buffalo right now is about pick to make the playoffs. So the selling point on the Bills is not, oh, they're a lock to be in. You see the playoff picture there right now. The Browns are 8-5. That's why the Browns are up there. Because they got the Browns in. And they have Jacksonville in. And they should. And the Chiefs and the Dolphins and the Ravens. That's what you have those prices there for the five. Buffalo is there because they think that the Bills are one of, if not the best team in this conference. Look at the line last week at Arrowhead. 1.5 on the road. And they win that football game. That's why you see that number there for Buffalo. But with the Miami loss, now the Chiefs, if they win out, while that might sound like a lot, but just stick with me, if Kansas City wins out, Miami would only need to lose one more game in order for the Chiefs to jump them. And Miami is absolutely going to lose again. Their remaining schedule, home against the Jets, home against Dallas, at Baltimore, and home against Buffalo. I don't know how the lines are look. Would it stun you if they were dogs in against Dallas and Buffalo in their own building? Wouldn't stun me. We know there'll be a dog in Baltimore. So this team is not, in terms of Miami, going to win out. Could the Chiefs win out? Absolutely. At New England, huge favorite. Home against the Raiders, huge favorite. Home against Jake Browning in Cincinnati, for as good as that's going, huge favorite. Final game, the Chargers, who are without Easton Stick for the rest of the year. You know what that Chiefs schedule is now? Kansas City is going to lay a touchdown plus in every single one of their remaining games. Every single one of them. Now, they've lost as a favorite this season. We know that. But if you look at their losses, right? The Detroit line was short. The Philly line was short. The Packers line was under a touchdown on the road. So was Buffalo. The big upset came at Denver. But that one also closed under a touchdown because the Broncos were starting to turn around. Mahomes doesn't lose as an over a touchdown favorite, and that's what he's going to be the rest of the way. So the pathway for the Chiefs to the one seed, if you'll allow me to assume Miami is going to lose at least once more, and the Chiefs can win out, is Baltimore dropping two games. And it is absolutely possible the Ravens do that. Their schedule is difficult and tricky. What do I mean by that? At Jacksonville and at San Francisco is difficult. Home against Miami and home against Pittsburgh is tricky. They've already lost to the Steelers this year. The Dolphins aren't going to lose all of these games. Maybe they are going to lose all of them, but could Miami pick them off? Yes, Miami could pick off Baltimore and still lose another game, as evidence of last night. And they're going to be a dog in San Francisco. And the Jacksonville game is hard, even though they're a favorite, hardly an easy one. Here's, though, the bigger selling point, I think, on the Chiefs and the AFC future bet that I'm very likely going to make over the next few days on Kansas City. If the Chiefs are the two seed, which is what I think the books right now believe is going to happen, if you look at the odds to be the number one seed in the AFC, Baltimore minus 115, Chiefs are the second option at plus 310. So let's just say it stacks up Baltimore 1, Kansas City 2. We've seen the Ravens in the playoffs before. And the world where the Ravens cough up the one seed because they lose and the Chiefs are all of a sudden hosting the AFC Championship game has literally happened before in the Lamar era and when Lamar Jackson won league MVP because they lost to the Tennessee Titans. Again, the worst case scenario, right, is the Chiefs have to go to Baltimore. You'd hold a 3-1 ticket. So the worry to me, the value is very clear on Kansas City. I think the worry on the Chiefs and why you might want to, and why a couple of other things, why I'm not making the bet tonight, is if the Bills land in the 7 spot. Because obviously, you're not going to love the number then if they have to play as a 2-point favorite in the opening game of the postseason. That's why the AFC is so tricky. Because you could end up missing out on the bye and playing the Buffalo Bills to start your postseason run. If they draw Denver, if they draw Jake Browning, heck, even if they draw CJ Stroud, who I'm high on, okay? Even if they drew Jacksonville, although, again, that's not an ideal scenario, you'll like where the Chiefs are. I know they've beaten Buffalo in the postseason before, but that would be the tricky thing. But again, the pathway to KC getting the number one overall seed is right there. It's right there and it's in front of them. We'll see if they're able to take advantage. Again, that's why I really wanted to focus in on that because that Miami loss last night moved so many things and they had no business losing that game. We're running up against the break. What we're going to do is we're going to flip you a best bet to close out this opening hour and hit some target player props at the top of hour number two right here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here. It is Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. And it's a Tuesday night in New York. I'm Kevin Walsh. Want to get your best bet here for the 7:30, the 7 p.m. hour of NBA action. We've got Lakers at Mavericks tonight. Really fun game, hopefully, tonight with the Lakers in their first matchup since winning the in-season tournament in Las Vegas. Pretty fortunate for L.A. that the schedule broke for them having an extra day off. That was not given to them, or that was not some bonus. Just how it played out. I will say last night's group of teams that were in Vegas, Pacers covered narrowly against the Pistons. Pels covered easy against the Timberwolves. The Bucks won no cover in overtime against the Chicago Bulls. The Lakers tonight, I feel like I'm hearing a lot of folks fading them against Dallas. The lines moved all day. Will Luka be in or will he be out? He is in, which should give some a little extra confidence potentially in your props tonight, hoping that you can avoid any blowouts there. And I'm going to play an over 6.5 assists on LeBron James in this matchup. And this is now LeBron has been starting to become the key assister for this basketball team. We've seen that. And for LeBron, he's coming off of just a 4-assist game in that in-season tournament finale. No assist, though, in the first half is really why that happened, was in foul trouble in that basketball game. And we've seen this number drop from where that prop was against Indiana. I understand you're playing a faster-paced basketball team and just overall the game, but I think you're getting a little bit of a value now in a bounce-back spot for LeBron, especially against this opponent. 9 of the last 10 top guys, top assisters, have cleared this exact number going up against the Dallas Mavericks. Desmond Bane last night hit this number. Anthony Simons, SGA, LeBron in this 10-game window hit it. Harden, Fred VanVleet, Giannis. This has been consistent cash of over 6.5 assists for an opposing team's best player, lead assist man, however you slice it. LeBron is both and is going to deliver 7 assists in this game. We're hitting a quick break. In less than a minute, we will return with some target player props for Week 15 in the NFL.